to Old Fashioned on Purpose, the show where we explore what we have left behind as we have raced towards progress as a culture, and also how we can get all the good pieces back. So I'm your host, Jill Winger. Many of you know me. I have been homesteading out here on the wide open Wyoming prairie with my family for well over a decade, and I am extremely passionate about teaching old fashioned skills to people from all walks of life, no matter where you live. So today's a really fun episode, and I've been looking forward to this for a while. Every year, usually in the fall, if you're on my newsletter list, which I hope you are, you get an email that offers you the opportunity to get a bottle of olive oil for a dollar. And often in those emails, I give you some information about the olive oil industry, and I didn't realize this till probably 6 or 7 years ago, that there's a lot of fraud and there's a lot of weird things that happen in that world. And so when I became educated, I started seeking out better options, and I found an amazing company that I've been working with for quite some time. So I offer a bottle of that oil every year. And the funniest part about that is I get so many responses from people who are like, is this real? It's too good to be true. Like, is this company for real? Is this a scam? And so today, well, first off, my answer is no, it's not a scam. But today I'm excited to go straight to the source. And I have the olive oil hunter himself, the founder of the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club, joining me today. Mr. T.J. Robinson is one of the world's most respected authorities on all matters olive oil. He has an incredible palate, so much so that he has been invited to be a judge in prestigious olive oil tasting competitions over in Italy, which you can only imagine how much of a big deal that is. And he is dedicated to finding the best olive oils on the planet. He travels all over the world, and I got so lucky I was able to snag him for an episode today. So welcome, TJ.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited to have some time to talk with you. And you've been so supportive of our mission of supporting small family farmers around the world that we work with. They work so hard to produce amazing quality products that have never been delivered to America before. We race them here by jet. And as your listeners and followers know, the quality of that taste experience is really exciting, and how you can leverage that in your own cooking to simplify your recipes and flavors in your kitchen. It's just really exciting to have an opportunity to talk with you about that today. So thank you so much for the invitation.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I say this usually in every email when I talk about this during our promotion every fall, but I did not realize what olive oil was supposed to taste like until I started getting your oils. Like, I assumed olive oil was odorless and tasteless, like canola oil or, you know, vegetable oil. And so it was quite shocking to me the first time I tried a bottle of your oil, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this actually tastes like something. It's astounding.
It's so true. I often say that store-bought olive oil, which is a commodity product, it's a bulk product, is very much like dried herbs. So you know how dried older herbs can be like kind of flat. They don't really have a lot of vitality to them, or real antioxidants, or, you know, real flavor versus fresh herbs, right? And if you have that fresh herb experience, or you, when you first started incorporating fresh herbs or tried like a fresh basil pesto, and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, because it's so full of flavor and aroma and antioxidants and healing powers, it's pretty amazing. So I liken fresh pressed olive oil to fresh herbs. And I also think of olive oil as especially fresh pressed olive oil, as a sauce that Mother Nature created for you. It should have a lot of flavor, a lot of aroma, and all those sort of things. And we're definitely going to talk today about how to identify a real olive oil versus one of those fakes that you talked about. And speaking of fakes, just to go down that road a little bit, right now, the Mediterranean is experiencing one of the worst harvests in a generation. This is two harvests in a row, specifically in Spain, that have been super tough. In Spain, a lot of the olive oil is produced. The Roman Empire planted in the south of Spain a gazillion olive trees. It's the largest man-made forest on Earth. It's in Andalusia, Spain. It's olive trees. Mm-hmm. And there have been fraud in olive oil since Roman times. There's a great book called Extra Virginity that was written by Tom Mueller. He wrote an article for the New Yorker called The Slippery Business of Olive Oil. But basically, when demand increases, like for the health benefits of olive oil, people want to try to eliminate many seed oils from their diets for their health depleting properties that keep getting, you know, published. And the recommendations of olive oil and improving your health keep coming out, more and more studies. So demand for extra virgin olive oil is up. And also the supply right now, because of olives are a fruit, and you need to think of olive oil as a fruit juice. So basically, to think about that, it needs to be cared for and loved like a fresh fruit juice. And that's why it's pressed at a low temperature, flown in by jet directly to the club members, who recognize immediately those flavors. But this fraud that's happening is happening throughout the Mediterranean. There's such a high price for commodity olive oil right now that farmers are actually getting their trucks are driving into groves during the night, parking under trees. They're cutting the branches, letting them fall in the backs of the truck, and driving off with farmers' fruit because it's very expensive by the liter right now to buy olive oil. So whenever there's increased demand, there's also and lower supply, that's what invites the fraudsters in. So just like 2 weeks ago in the Miami Herald, there was a story, 68,000 gallons of fake inedible olive oil, in quotes, seized in Spain. Cops say 11 arrested. Going on to talk about the chainsaw attacks that are happening, the break-ins at warehouses. So really, it's just a real time to educate consumers about what is real olive oil. How do you tell if I'm tasting real olive oil? And that's what we'll get to today, because that's the best thing you can do is educate your palate and know what to taste for and what to look for. So thank you again.
Yeah, that's incredible. Who would have thought there's such this kind of cloak and dagger stuff going on with olive oil? If there's fraudulent olive oil or adulterated olive oil, that has a high chance of getting into the bottles at the supermarkets in the U.S. Is that correct?
Correct. Because if you look at a bottle of an olive oil, you'll see there are many countries of origins on it. It'll say like IT. It could have like 6 or 8 countries of origin that are stamped on there. And there's not a lot of love that goes into commodity quality olive oil. So the product that I'm focused on is artisanal olive oil, single estate, people that have mills on their own farms and that are really love and passionate about the product they're producing, and are winning most of the contest in their countries of origin as being the top producers in their regions. And then I come along and say, you know, I want you to do an early harvest and, you know, that sort of thing, which we'll get more into. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's definitely an important product. It's a very big business. It is a $22 billion industry. So, and so what Tom Mueller talks about and what he talked about in the New Yorker was that the agri-mafia in the Mediterranean, they have learned, you know, they don't really have to traffic in drugs. They can take olive oil and adulterate it with lower quality olive oil or have it be sold as extra virgin because people don't know what it tastes like. Mm. Folks like you, folks like me, when I first learned to taste olive oil, I didn't recognize it either. But sell it for the high price that extra virgin is sold for. So they can skim small, and they add chlorophyll to it. They add beta carotene to try to disguise the color and the flavor of the oil. So it's definitely a slippery business. So you really need an advocate like me that is part sommelier and part olive oil concierge. So my members get 3 bottles a quarter, as you know, the same I ship to your house. And the people who cook using the oil, they really enjoy the experience of having the oil in their kitchen. So I'm very, very proud of what we've been able to do to support these small family farmers, you know, around the world, because it's a very old ways, it's an old way of living, and it definitely fits into your folks and how, what you're trying to champion, which is, you know, slowing down, getting back to the things that we can produce and really enjoying that product. So the olive oil world at the level I play at is very much a passion-driven business. It's not a profit-driven business. And really what we're trying to do is preserve old olive varieties. Just in Italy alone, there are 550 olive varieties. So think of these like you would apple varieties when you think of like Granny Smith versus McIntosh versus Golden Delicious. Well, it's the same in Italy when it comes to olive varieties. There are about 500 that are all over that have different aromas, different levels of bitterness and spiciness and that sort of thing. So it is this old ways, old world that we're trying to help preserve. So we go in and a lot of people have left the countryside. So children and grandchildren, their grandparents worked in agriculture. They left the villages in Sicily where they had the family olive trees and moved to Rome and Milan for school. And they never came back because it was really hard work maintaining agriculture. So now with the broadband internet and demand for this product, we're actually going in and rehabbing groves. We're cleaning up groves and taking them back and getting them into production with pruning and cleaning and all those sort of things. So as the demand for the club grows, we're able to support smaller communities, whether it's in Greece, in the Pelion region, or in Italy. So it's pretty cool to be a part of that. So that's why your support means so much. So we appreciate all that you do for us, Jill, and your group. It means a lot.
Yeah. You're really speaking our language of just my audience of, you know, how can we reinvigorate those family farms, get the power back in the hands of the small producers instead of the conglomerates. So I feel like there's so much information, so much I want to ask you. I feel like there's kind of 2 buckets here that I'm passionate about and my people are passionate about. First off, I'd love to learn more about just the process of the different varieties and the harvest and the pressing so we can understand that on a small scale. And then I'd love to also speak to the flavors. How do you tell? How do you cook with it? Because I also have a lot of culinary folks in the audience. So can we kind of start with the farming angle and then we'll drift over into the kitchen?
Absolutely. And I'll get a little bit into my origin story of olive oil, too. So I was an ex-trained chef, went to school in Asheville, North Carolina, where I was born and raised, a Southern boy. I got this job. I was working for Biltmore Estate at the time and had this opportunity with a visiting chef who came to Asheville from the Food Network to have the opportunity to move to New York City to be his assistant. So after culinary school and pastry school and hospitality school, I moved to New York and worked for the Food Network for, I don't know, about 8 years. So it was a wonderful experience. And as part of that, I was exposed as a food, wine, and travel writer to some of the best food and wine experiences around the world. And you know, being a Southern boy, I didn't grow up with olive trees in my backyard. Like most Americans, we're going back 20 years ago, in the U.S., we produce about, in those days, like 3% of what we consume in America. Now we're probably less than 10% of the olive oil we consume as Americans is produced in America, mostly in California. So I had never, like, if you took me and gave me a bottle of Welch's apple juice. And then in the fall here in Western North Carolina, took me out to a cider press and I got to taste fresh pressed cider. I would immediately know the difference, right? And my palate was educated. I knew everything about apples and apple cider, and I loved apple cider slushies as a kid and all that sort of thing. Like, I was a big fan of going to the Grove as a kid. But I had never been to an olive harvest. So I got invited to this olive harvest in Sicily when I was living in New York. And Giacomo invited me to this event. And so it was myself and my friend Nancy, who is also a travel writer. We spent the day on this farm, beautiful hillside farm looking over the Mediterranean, all these old olive trees, really my first experience being around olive trees. I learned that they were fruit. I learned that the minute we picked them, we wanted them to be really green, because the more green they are, the higher they are in antioxidants and polyphenols. Also, I learned the greener they are, the harder they are to get off the tree. It's a lot of work. So we spent the day with Giacomo and Matteo and his family and picking and beating these trees, and the olives were falling on the net. We placed them in bins, and then we covered them with branches to keep the sun out, the warm Sicilian sun, because we keep them in these small bins to keep them cool and covered to be shade. And then later in the evening, probably around 6 p.m., we load up in the back of a Fiat Panda, which is like a little SUV. I don't know. It's a little all-wheel drive car they use a lot in Italy. And so we load up these bins of fruit and we go to the local mill. And the mill experience, this was the first time I'd been to an olive mill, was very unique. It's very deep in Italian culture, Spanish culture, throughout the Mediterranean, where they take their family fruit to these mills. They put their name on top. It's done by weight. And then you wait your turn. And essentially, they took our fruit and they put it in, they wash it. They put it in a crusher to crush the fruit. And then it goes into a malaxer where it sits and spins and kind of processes. And then the third step is a centrifuge. And so I was invited with Matteo. We were very excited to go and stand there at the spigot where the olive oil is flowing out of the press with a small cup. We were each given cups. And I was warned that, you know, be careful. This is full flavor and can be spicy. And I was like, really? I never had olive oil like this. I'm supposed to be a card-carrying foodie, but okay, I'm ready. So I take my cup, I put it under the centrifuge where the olive oil flows into my cup, and I look at this beautiful green gold, and the aromas coming out of the cup were like wheatgrass and all these amazing arugula and basil, and it was only olives from Matteo's trees. I was there for every step of the process. And the moment I stuck my nose in that glass, I really kind of got upset because I knew that this product had been kept from me as an American, even as a foodie. I should have known that this was out there, but I had never tasted it as a chef. And then I did my taste test, and my life changed at that moment. I brought back the oil to my family and friends in New York, and my chef friends. They fell in love with it. I had never had anything like it. And like I said, I really got upset that this was not available. So I was the crazy guy who put the first batch of olive oil from that harvest on a plane from Sicily to New York City to be able to serve and share this amazing product. So, sorry to go down that rabbit hole, but I kind of wanted to give you my experience too, because your listeners can have that same experience for themselves when they open a bottle of olive oil from the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. They're going to see and have their own taste epiphany. So that's a little bit about that. Did I miss anything? I know there were other parts of that one.
Well, that's awesome. And I feel like a lot of our listeners will relate, just like the first time, they taste a tomato from the garden, an heirloom tomato versus a mushy store-bought tomato, like maybe on a lesser scale, not so, you know, they didn't have to fly across the country, but yeah. I know they resonate with that. It's so different. And especially as Americans, we have this perception of what food tastes like, and often it's just not. It's so bland compared to the real deal. So. Yeah.
So true, too.
So as you were talking about the process, one question that I've received a lot, because I, you know, I don't love seed oils, the industrial oils that, you know, America loves so much. And I kind of speak out against those sometimes. And every so often people will be like, okay, so, but I don't understand what makes olive oil healthier than like a canola or a, you know, random whatever vegetable oil is, because it's still a pressed oil, you know, like what's the difference? How come olive oil doesn't have the same health concerns as a seed oil?
Yes. Well, it is the fat composition of the olive oil and of the olives themselves. And usually when people talk to me about this, I go in the fruit direction, fruit oil. So avocado oil, people also is recommended over seed oils. Many people recommend that. Grape seed oil is also used for higher heat temperatures. I hear people talk about that as well. I will tell you that in the Mediterranean, when I go into Sicilian grandmother's kitchens, what they're using for everything in their kitchen is extra virgin olive oil. And olive oil, the fat makeup of olive oil is important compared to seed oils. But in addition to fat, because like if you go into the grocery store and you see like light olive oil,
yes,
that doesn't mean like low calorie or anything like that. That's a product that was a lower quality olive oil that has been stripped of all the flavors, the rancidity and that sort of thing. That's like a down chain product, we would say. And that is a refined olive oil, and that is just healthy fat. Now what they've really discovered about olive oil and the health benefits, it's not just about the fat. There is this whole other compound called antioxidants and polyphenols. So these polyphenols that have been discovered, and we measure those each quarter. So I send my oils to the top lab in Italy every quarter, whether they're coming from Spain or Portugal or Italy or Chile or Australia, which we go to for their harvest season, which is opposite the Mediterranean, to get fresh pressed oil. We actually have those polyphenols measured. And so most of the scientific studies you see around health benefits of olive oil have really targeted these antioxidants / polyphenols to be the real powerhouse in what makes olive oil so beneficial and healthy for you, whether it's for your skin or your gut or your heart health. I mean, all these sort of things are tied into these antioxidants and polyphenols. But the economics of olive oil production as a commodity product lead, because it's a fruit, the longer you leave it hanging on the tree, the more olive oil that you get in the fruit, but the lower levels of antioxidants and polyphenols. So the problem is when olive oil producers are selling their olive oil by the liter, by the kilo to the market, they're incentivized to leave the olive hanging on the tree as long as possible to get, it's easier to harvest. Sometimes in Spain, it even just, they don't have no harvest costs. It just falls to the ground. They vacuum it up and then they send it on to the refinery. If it's green, if it's harvested when it's green, you have higher levels of antioxidants, polyphenols, but those deteriorate by about 50% in the first 6 months. So that's why it's important to fly it in by jet and to consume it when it's fresh. So that really ties into learning how to be an olive oil consumer, buying in dark glass, like our olive oils delivered in. Looking on the label, like this one here, we have the harvest season, Italian harvest season 2023. So that was in November and December, the Italian olive harvest. Okay. So you got to look for harvest date on bottles, not expiration date, because that's based mm-hmm. on when it was bottled, not when it was harvested. And that could be dated out for quite a while.
Okay.
in a store-bought product. And also, if you can go to a place where you can try the oil first, that's also a nice thing to be able to do. And we can talk about what to look for and taste for as well. And just knowing that in many cases, you're getting what you pay for. You can't ask a farmer to, we talked about black olives versus green a little bit. So let's just talk a little bit about yield. So my oils, are about 10% yield. So you pick the green fruit, you would have to pick, 10 bottles worth of fruit to get this much juice with a 10% yield. If you leave the fruit on the tree an additional month, let's say, and it gets black and really filled with oil, you could get up to 20 to 25% oil out of that fruit. So there are crazy folks like me who come along and say, I'm in it for health benefits. I'm in it for flavor. And I really want the best. I want you to give it loving care throughout the whole path. I want it picked beautifully. I want it pressed immediately. I don't want it sitting around and deteriorating before it gets in the press. When it actually is in the press, we want to use a press that is really focused on quality, not letting oxygen in the process, and also a very low temperature, because you can cook the olive oil as you're processing the olives. The more heat you add, the more oil you extract, the less flavor. So there's a lot of cooked oils out there, as you mentioned, like flat and that sort of thing. We want it used quickly. That's a major part of the process. Is the economics of olive oil for commodity level olive oil is slanted in the direction of the low quality product, which is terrible.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I didn't realize the yield changed so much depending on the timing. But that, yeah, like you said, you get what you pay for. So now it makes absolute sense why the higher quality is going to cost more, because the yields are smaller. Fascinating.
It's a fun world. My club, we're 25,000 members strong, all over the U.S. And every quarter people receive three oils, a mild, medium, and bold. And you talked about culinary, you wanted to get into culinary.
Yeah.
Uses.
Yeah. Let's go there. Yeah.
Every quarter, along with the oils, they get a tasting note card that talks about, the tasting profiles. There's a mild, a medium, and a bold in each trio. Depending on the country of origin, there's always a mild, medium, and bold. And those are meant to be paired with foods that are mild, medium, and bold. So, for example, if you're making a fish or a chicken dish, you most likely would like to use a mild oil on that. If you're making a nice grilled charred steak for dinner, you want to use more of a bold oil. So that people really get into the food pairing suggestions on these. Because I want my club member to have the experience, like almost like they're going to the farm with me. I try to almost like you would go to your local green market and how you get to know your farmer. So I give every quarter my club members get my pressing report, which tells why I'm in the country of origin. I'm showing some of the photos there of me with the farmers and the trees. And we talk about why I selected the oils I did. Like there's a great family from Umbria here that produced our mild oil this quarter. And I really go into why their farm is special. And these farmers that I work with, they're global olive oil competitions. You talked about me being invited to be a judge in competitions. And there are tasting guides, almost like wine review books that review wineries. Well, there are also olive oil books that are published throughout the Mediterranean. And every year there are competitions all over the Mediterranean, in-country and international competition, where you send your olive oil to be judged by a panel of experts. So this panel of experts is really what helps certify olive oil as extra virgin. Olive oil is put through two tests to be deemed extra virgin. One is a chemistry test. So that tells us about the quality of the fruit at the time of harvest. It tells us about more about those polyphenols and how many are in there to actually give us a count. High quality olive oil would have 200, 300, 400, 500. I think one of the oils this quarter has a polyphenol level of over 500. So very, very happy about that. So yeah, it's a challenge. It's a race against, and it's a hand in hand of working with Mother Nature. I often say that she owns 51% of the company because I can only do the best that she can do. And my farmers are able to extract, because pretty much anything you do from the moment you pluck the fruit from the tree until it's into the consumer's hands, you can only destroy what Mother Nature created. So I focus working with the top farmers in the world. There's a guide called Flow Soli, and Flow Soli is a big competition and a consumer guide to olive oil in Italy, ranking the top 500 farms. And every year they have the Flow Soli Top 20. You get this beautiful blue tasting cup. With it's your award for the year. You're the top 20 farm out of 400 that year. And I'm actually very lucky to work with many of the producers that I work with. Flow Soli Top 20, Flow Soli Top 20. So it's like I really have over 20 years built relationships, because really what I'm in is the relationship business. I'm in the relationship with my farmer and making sure that they give me the very best fruit based on that year, because not every farm produce, it's not consistent. Olive trees produce, one year they'll produce 100%, the next year 50%, the following year 100%, then 50%, you know, barring no crazy, you know, climate change events that are happening, which of course we're all dealing with. But, you know, the olive business in general, it is tough. It's tough. It's not easy.
No, I imagine. And I think there's so much of that with, well, so many food industries. We sell grass finished beef to direct to consumer. And it's just, you know, in the rest of the world, beef is a commodity. And we're trying to do this on this like artisan scale, just like with the olive oil. And there's just so many ups and downs and weather and good years and bad years. And I think, you know, it's just, I know my audience really can appreciate that, hey, sometimes it's a great year, sometimes it's not. And that is reflected in so many things. But yeah, I respect that so much. 100%. Doing it the right way in dealing with the ups and downs versus just, you know, trying to commoditize and do sketchy things to make it the same all the time, because that's just not how nature works.
Absolutely. So so in Italy, I work with so many wonderful farms. I don't know why I keep talking about Italy. I work in Spain and Portugal and Chile, and Australia every year as well. But these microclimates. So this year, for example, you would not want to buy an olive oil from Tuscany. Tuscany had a horrible season. So that whole region, and people think Tuscan oil is the best. Well, Tuscan oil is a style of oil now that much of the world now produces. Tuscan oil is a green harvest oil, typically high in polyphenols, and a super quality oil. And that style of oil can be produced in other areas of the world. So for example, when I travel, so the Mediterranean harvest is opposite of the Southern Hemisphere. So that's, for example, why at wintertime we're getting fresh berries in North Carolina. And when you look on the bag from the market, many of those are coming from Chile and Argentina. So the opposite harvest is happening. So what happened here? So when immigrants left because the olive tree is a Mediterranean plant, a Mediterranean tree. When immigrants left for the New World, they had already heard from family members that they had planted grapes there and they're growing well and the climate was beautiful and it was very much like the Mediterranean. So they took their neckties and the seams of their clothes and they opened them and they hid in the seams of their clothes cuttings from their family olive groves. Wow. That they then replanted in the New World. They needed it. Why did they need these olive trees? Well, A, it was their family heritage. It was taking their blood, their lifeblood with them to the New World. But it was also for religious ceremony. It was also for health and wellness, whether it was skin or dietary uses. But it was one of these products that they took to the new world with them. So when you think like California, like very famous, we have the Mission Olive. Well, that was brought by the Spanish missionaries from Spain to California. And in the new world, we have olive varieties that are thriving and people are making, and these are all varieties that are brought from the old world that are planted in the new world. So we're able to get and fly in fresh oil, because I was telling you about the antioxidants really dropping off, over the course of about 6 months. So for us, it's important to have, fresh olive oil that's full of flavor and aroma and health benefits.
Yes. Could you speak a little bit? So you're saying that olives are not native to the U.S. Like that is, these were brought in a long time ago. Yes. So
correct.
Can you speak to like getting olive oil from California olive farms versus the other places in the world and kind of how those compare?
Absolutely. I don't have an issue with California olive oil. In fact, I like California olive oil. I do have, to me, it's boring. And I say it's boring because there are most new plantations in the U.S. are what are called super intensive plantations. Mm-hmm. So what does this super intensive planting mean? This means we have hedgerows of olive trees. And these hedgerows, they use over-the-row harvesters. So they drive these machines over the trees, and it vibrates and shakes the trees and takes the fruit into the hopper and is pressed immediately. So usually the quality is pretty high of Californian olive oil. It's not, I would say it's better than buying imported olive oil if you don't know, you know, the maker, sure. Let's say, or where it was from. But what I will say about California olive oil, there are only really three olive varieties in the world. One is Arbequina, Arbasana, Coronaike, that really grow in these hedgerow style plantations. So it's becoming very homogenized in California. It's boring. You're not going to get all the unique flavors of the terroir and the olive varieties. You're not supporting necessarily old world traditions and all of those things like we've talked about in a traditional style planting.
Yes.
So for me, it's a little bit boring. It's not that I studied at UC Davis. That's where I learned to taste olive oil. I've gone back for master milling courses and those sort of things. I'm big fans of and it's a place where people can go and taste real fresh olive oil so they understand what it is. Olives are harvested one time a year, just like apples are harvested one time a year. It's not that I have any kind of issue with California. It bores me, and I don't want to support that style of agriculture here in the U.S. And it's very low amount. Most of the oil we consume in America, 90%+ is imported from outside the U.S. And that's where more of the slipperiness can get involved when it's imported to the U.S. So, you know, looking for third party certifications on labels, and then, of course, learning how to taste olive oil is key.
Awesome. OK, I had a feeling, but I had not done a lot of research there. So that was kind of my hunch that it was a little more homogenized. I like that word. I think that sums it up. Well,
yeah.
We're rolling up on time. How are you doing? Do you have a few more minutes where we could chat?
No, I do. Yes, I want to continue. I want to talk to people about how to know what real olive oil tastes. Like we talked about Tuscan oil before. I remember the first time I tasted oil in Tuscany, the guy that I was tasting with, Marco, said, be careful, TJ, this is a 3-cough oil. And I said, what do you mean 3-cough oil? And he's like, oh, you're going to feel the spiciness of this oil. So I know I sent you a few olive oils. I'm happy to just pour one of mine.
Well, okay.
They're cold.
They're cold. I'd have to tell the listeners, and this is embarrassing.
Yes.
So they sent me this lovely box of 3 oils, and I use them in my kitchen all the time. I have others in the house, but these were specifically for the tasting for today, and I left them in our shop, which got very cold last night because it's very cold here, and now they're solidified. So I've been holding this one in my lap and cradling it, and it's semi-liquid now. So I think we might be
able to taste it. Give it a little shake. You know, it's really funny. It gives me a chance to talk about something called the refrigerator test. Yeah. Dr. Oz mentioned a few years ago on air that you could put your olive oil in a refrigerator and know whether it's extra virgin or not. That is completely false. UC Davis issued a paper on it saying this is not, you know, the way you tell quality olive oil. To tell quality olive oil, you need two things. You need a chemistry panel on the oil, and then the second thing, it goes to a tasting panel. And we're going to talk right now about what a tasting panel looks for. So we have a small cup.
Yes.
And I'm going to place, I think you have this one, right?
Mercurius.
Yes. Yeah, Mercurius.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put, and we're not going to taste, we're going to just pour up about a tablespoon, more or less, in the bottom of my cup.
All right.
And I already smell the aroma of the olive oil. Mm-hmm. It's coming out already out of the cup. So the step we do to know, we want to warm the oil. So I place the cup in the palm of my hand. This is what we do.
Okay.
And professional tasters taste out of blue glasses. And we taste out of a blue glass because color is not an indicator of olive oil quality. It just has to do with how much chlorophyll is in that particular olive variety or the machinery that was used to press the oil. So professional tasters, if you see them, they might be using a blue glass to disguise the color today just because it's nice and easy. I'm putting these out. So to show you guys the what I'm doing. So I'm warming the oil. I've got my hand over top of the oil just like this to trap all the aromas. And as I warm the oil, I'm going to slip my nose. And I'm going to breathe in the oil. And what, I'm just having a moment here with the oil. It's so good. So you want to, first of all, smell the oil. And when I say smell the oil, what are we looking for? We're looking for what is called fruitiness. And fruitiness is not necessarily only fruit, like apples and banana and kiwi, which a lot of times we see those aromas in fresh olive oil. But also we're looking for things like grassiness. We're looking for like arugula or fresh herbs. And remember, this is only olive oil. This is not infused oil, which is usually a low quality product with some junk added to make it smell like something.
Yeah.
So a tasting panel is first looking to see that it's got fruitiness, aroma, flavor, like nice sensations. And then two, a panel is looking for defects. These oils are defect free. They're third party certified to be extra virgin before before I bring them in. And defects happen as part of the production process, or they're too old or too rancid, or the fruit was left out too long before it was pressed, or the machinery was dirty. I mean, a million things can happen and olive oils can go bad. So really the job of a panel is partially to, or mostly to find defects and then say, if it's got a defect, it's no longer considered extra virgin. So that's what a tasting panel does. Now for us, we're going to go on to identify other great things in this oil. So when I smell the oil, and I include some tasting notes. So for this one, for example, I say this is the essence of Central Italy is captured in this oil, starring the Drita olive. This is a single olive variety called Drita. On the nose, this oil is redolent of Tuscan kale and Belgian endive. And give this thing a smell and see if you can pick any of these out, Jill, as we're running through this. It's redolent of Tuscan kale and Belgian endive. Almond, baking spices, wild mint, plus the aroma of black peppercorns and sage.
Yeah.
So I definitely am still getting lots of green.
I smell the green. Yeah. Lots of green for sure.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. And some nuttiness and the oil's an evolution. So next we're going to take a small sip and we're going to chew the oil. So we have about a tablespoon in the cup. We're probably going to put about a teaspoon in our mouth.
Okay.
And we're just going to chew the oil. And what you're going to notice, oh man, that's so green and vibrant.
It's so vibrant.
That's so vibrant. I feel the polyphenols. I feel them dancing on my tongue. You feel that numbness that's happening?
Yep.
That's the health benefits of fresh olive oil. So, and I'm probably going to cough.
Yeah, I feel, yeah, a little bit. Now you stand.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I know. So, okay. So what are we looking for? We're looking for continuingness of the fruitiness. So we're looking for more flavor out of the oil. We're also looking for bitterness. So what is bitterness? And Americans aren't really super keen on bitterness. Although we like coffee and dark chocolate. But for the most part, we don't like, you know, really dark things like arugula and kale. Like we're more like, you know, like butter lettuce to people. Yeah. I don't know. But the benefits, the health benefits are there. So this bitterness tells you it's from green fruit. So when you taste olive oil, you want it to taste bitter. And when I say bitter, I mean, and this is the bold in the trio.
Yes.
So this is the boldest, like bitterness. And this bitterness goes away when you put it on food. It's not like you're drinking it straight. You would put it in your smoothie. You would put it in your salad dressing because store-bought salad dressing is full of terrible things.
Yes.
Stabilizers, weird fats that we don't want to consume, sugars. So this is like a quick hack for a health hack as well. Okay, so bitterness we talked about. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing you want to look for is spiciness. Spiciness tells you it's fresh. So fruitiness, bitterness, spiciness. That's what you're looking for in your olive oil. So if your olive oil is not giving you those sensations, bitterness being like we talked about, arugula or overbrewed green tea or walnuts, like that's the kind of bitterness we're talking about. And then spiciness, we're talking about, like arugula-like or peppercorns, those sort of things like those are the sensations we're looking for. So when you look at a lab report that comes from the lab, it'll actually score those elements. It'll say fruitiness, you get a 6, bitterness, you get a 7, spiciness, you get a 4. And that kind of tells you the range. Not that one is better than the other, but also you want an oil to be well calibrated. It should be harmonic and really food loving. So I was telling you, olive oil, I think of as a sauce. So in our kitchen, my wife, Megan, who's an amazing home cook, would steam some green beans, some just Herr Kovair fresh steamed green beans, remove those from the steamer, a little bit of a high quality salt, and a little drizzle of olive oil. And that's all you need. Like the Mediterranean, they really understand that less ingredients are more. It's better for your health. But the quality of each ingredient must be extremely high. And the same thing with grilled chicken. If you want a simple grilled chicken, you drizzle it with some olive oil and you have this amazing, when it hits the warm food, it just like the smell just comes up in your kitchen. I guess I'm anxious to hear, like, do you have, like, what are your top 2-3 favorite ways that you use fresh olive oil, Jill? Because, like, how would you recommend, like, leveraging it as a health product in their kitchen or flavor product? Like, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yes. Well, first off, I need to ask you a question, maybe a confession.
Yes, please.
This question a ton. Is it okay to use this olive oil to make, like, eggs, like scrambled eggs, like to use it in cooking where there's heat? Because there's a lot of different opinions on that.
Yes. And that kind of goes back to these big bottlers who realized that they taught Americans they needed to have olive oil in their pantry, but then they told them they can't cook with one. So they need to buy a second one that's just for cooking. So guess what they did? They doubled their sales. but of course, hook, line, and sinker. They got us. But no, honestly, in the Mediterranean, the extra virgin olive oil is used for everything. And Leandro Rovetti, who's an olive researcher and scientist in Australia, did a study looking at the stability of olive oil when it's being cooked with. And really what the key is, you want to start with a high quality olive oil that's high in antioxidants, because what happens as the oil is being heated, those antioxidants actually protect the oil as it's being heated. So there is a quick tip. I fry my eggs in the morning in a frying pan using olive oil. And here is my tip for that. One, I don't do it over high heat. I do medium heat. I heat my pan first. I do not add my olive oil. I put my pan on the stove. I then, when the pan is hot, I add my olive oil, and then I immediately add my eggs. So the oil isn't sitting there heating up, smoking, doing things that you don't want beautiful olive oil to do. So that's my tip. Whenever you're cooking with olive oil, a little bit lower temperature, and also heat your pan first before you add your oil, and then add your food immediately. And yes, in the Mediterranean, they use it for absolutely everything. And Leandro Rovetti's research, I'm happy to share that with you. You can put it in your podcast show notes. It's fantastic.
That would be
talking
awesome.
About olive oil was actually more stable. High quality extra virgin olive oil is more stable than even the seed oils that claim to be like the most stable. It actually had less of these polar compounds were created, and it was actually more stable. So anyway, I'll definitely share that study with you.
That'd be awesome.
Because you can absolutely cook with olive oil. And you'll taste it. I want you to fry your oil, your eggs in olive oil. And then when you sit down to the table, I want you to, you know, taste the oil that's on your egg, on your fried egg. And it should taste very much like it did when you first got it from the bottle. And if it does, you know, you've done it right.
Yeah.
So, my taste buds tell me that it's, you know, holds up very well.
Right. Okay. So now I can tell you how I use it. Cause I do, I use it with eggs every morning, like every morning. And I do just like you say, cast iron skillet, heat it first. I don't let the oil smoke. I'm careful, but it just makes it taste better. And then I just love a vinaigrette, like our new favorite salad dressing, or our old favorite, our favorite salad dressing is good olive oil, little vinegar, salt, pepper on, you know, on a salad. And I don't think you need anything else. It's just so good. I've used it to make mayonnaise.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So even in restaurants, I have the small club members as a smaller bottle. So my club members get three large bottles or three smaller bottles. These are 500 ml. The smaller club is 250 ml. And I'll take those 250 into the restaurant with me, and I'll order extra lemon for my water, because in the Mediterranean, they use a lot of lemon on salad. So lemon and a squeeze of that lemon used for my water, you know, ask for a plate of lemon and squeeze that on my salad and drizzle a little olive oil, put a little salt and pepper on there, and I'm in heaven.
Like, yes.
And I'm not digesting all these, you know, stabilizers and junk that's in, you know, processed restaurant.
Oh, man.
Stuff.
So bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that you're using it for cooking your eggs, and I love that you're using it for vinaigrettes and just other simple ideas. I mean, I'd love to, you know, in the comments of this, I know many of your folks, so from Prairie Homestead or Old Fashioned on Purpose, they can share their ideas on how they're using it.
Yeah,
I would love to hear that too, because I do publish recipes in the back of the report every quarter on how to use the olive oil. So these are some of the recipes I get from like the Italian mamas or the chef in Chile on what they're doing down there with olive oil and how they're incorporating it in their cuisine, or in Australia where they use a lot of olive oil in Asian food because of the health benefits versus a lot of the seed oils. They have Miley Kwong, who's a great Australian chef who makes a lot of Chinese food. She uses olive oil for everything, for her Asian salads and her wok, for her stir fries. Like it's, it's just creates more flavor, more health benefits.
Yeah, I love that. And I really found this card is super helpful, because like if you're not educated in the flavors, because I haven't been, I know it tastes stronger, but like you said, you have all these little notes of what you're going to be tasting and what to expect. And I think this is just educating my palate of what I'm actually tasting. So this is extremely helpful. And also your recipes too in your letter are useful.
Yeah, well, it becomes an adventure, right? It's like having a conversation with the farmer and being close to your food and really just taking a moment to understand the product and how that's benefiting you and the world. And you know, just the gratitude you have for such a really cool product. I try not to get overly geeky and overly foodie, as my background is a chef. And I try not to go, most of my members are in it these days for health. Yes. They take it as a supplement. Like they use it on their food. They put it in their smoothies. They eat it and, you know, they want it for the health benefits. But, you know, it's a really cool project. And people really love it. And, you know, the best thing to do is educate your palate. Go for your folks only, for old fashioned on purpose. We did set up a URL,
yes,
which is getfresh23.com. And when people go there, they can read all about me and the club. You guys already know me well at this point. You've been in my home kitchen.
Yeah.
But read all about the club and our quarterly shipping cycle and where I'm traveling to get the oils and, you know, why I'm there at the moment of harvest. And then I, you know, ship it directly to your door. So I'm the single link in the chain between you and the farmer. So there's no one messing with the oil. There's no fraud that's happening. It's all about that love and care and that meticulousness that I have as being a chef and managing this process and getting it to your door and teaching you how to use it. But you, for $1, you can get a bottle of fresh pressed olive oil as your introduction to the club. You have roughly 3-4 weeks to cancel before you'll get your first shipment. We never ask for return bottles. We never do anything like that. So this is a no risk, no obligation to purchase anything. It's the $1 to offset shipping. And then you'll try the oil yourself and see if this works for you in your kitchen. And you can do your own at-home taste test. Yes. Grab a couple espresso cups and do your own. Pull yours out of the pantry and put in cup A and taste it against fresh pressed olive oil in cup 2. And do that with your family. Read the pressing report, really turn it into this experience every quarter, learning about the adventure and what people are doing in country and why this olive oil is so special. So it's a fun lifestyle. It's a lifestyle and health upgrade. That's yes. Pretty easy to try.
Yeah. And I was really excited. Well, I was talking to your team about having you on and I was like, I know he's traveling. So number one, can he even come on? And then also, can we offer the dollar now? Because normally it's very date dependent because you're actually working with the harvest. It's not just sitting in a warehouse forever and ever. So I was super excited that we got to offer it today. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the way I build the club. People try the olive oil for $1. Most of them, thank goodness, really love it. And then they stay with me as a club member. They tell their friends and family. And so that's how we've grown. I started the club about 20 years ago. And it's been, you know, my passion and my love ever since. So again, I just appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk to you and to especially people who care about what they're doing for their family and for the planet. It's really, really, I appreciate it.
Just, yeah. Thank you. This was an absolute blast. I never got to taste anything on a show before. So this was super fun. Guys, we're going to put the link GetFresh23 down in the show notes. You can go check that out, read all about it. There's lots of documentation on TJ and everything he does. So now I'm really excited we have this episode. So the next person who emails me, like, is this real? I'm like, yes, it's real. He's a real person. I talked to him. It's legit. We love the oil. We use it every day. So thank you, TJ. You are brilliant. Thank you for what you're doing to help the small farmers. And yeah, this has been a blast.
Thank you. Take care, Jill. Have a great day.